This is Kevin Maynard with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am talking art with Isaac Flynn and Alexander Ward of the band Hembree. Hembree is part of the Alternating Currents lineup, and you can see them play the Raccoon Motel on August 16th at 9 p.m. Isaac, Alexander, welcome to Talking Art.
Hi, Kevin.
Thank you so much. What's up? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So to get started, can you tell our listeners what you both do in the band and then a little bit about the style of music that you play?
Yeah, so this is Isaac, and I am the lead singer and guitarist in the band. And Alex, what do you do?
My name is Alex Ward, and I am guitarist, backup singer, and I just bring some good energy to the band. That's my biggest
energy.
Contribution, right?
Yeah, really, really keeps the morale high.
That's what I'm best at.
That's why we keep it around.
lower quality microphone audio recording, but better energy.
I'm lead singer, so
my mic has to have a better EQ,
better clarity,
higher audio fidelity for the singer.
So, how would you two describe the style of music that Hembree plays?
It's pretty rock and roll based at its core. But we definitely love like electronic music as well. So it's pretty dancey, a little indie rock mixed with what do you think, Al? Some groove?
Yeah, I would just say melodic indie rock. It's always, for some reason, so hard for bands to explain their sound. But at the end of the day, if someone were to describe our sound, they'd be like, oh, that's just a rock and roll band.
Yeah, rock band. And they have some keyboards.
Yeah, and some keyboards.
Well, that actually brings up a good question. So the band isn't just you two. Who else is in the band and what are those instruments?
So it's kind of a family operation. We got my brother-in-law, Eric Davis. He is the one making all the crazy sounds with the electronics. So he's on the keys. And then we've got a longtime friend, Garrett Childers, childhood friend. He's on the bass and the angelic harmonies. And Alex, tell him about our other member.
And then the other band member is my younger brother, Austin, banging away on the drums back there. And yeah, like Isaac said, it's very much a family and friend operation. We're like a little partridge family.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you both will be there and the rest of the band will be playing in Davenport at the Raccoon Motel as part of Alternating Currents. But this isn't your first Alternating Currents appearance. When was the first time that you played AC?
Not our first rodeo.
That's not right. Our first rodeo, that's for sure. We played Alternating Currents in 2018, before even our first record came out. We had actually signed our first record deal that day. So we celebrated at All
that's
Currents.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's why we can't remember much of it.
Yeah. I'm sure we played a good show.
I think we did
great.
I'll
be honest, I think the after party was even more memorable.
That was sure you had to be like Cloud Nine. So
yeah,
Cloud Nine, early days of the band. Alt Currents gave us a couple hotel rooms. We were living the dream. But last year we played, I believe it was last year, and we headlined at Raccoon Motel, which is a spot we've played many times. Love the folks over there. So we are looking forward to coming back to the Raccoon Motel for year three for Alt Currents for Hembree.
Excellent. So out of curiosity, like from an artist aspect, what do you like about the Alternating Currents Festival?
Personally, I love that they just are bringing so many up and coming artists into Davenport. And I think they have a really cool thing going where it is an opportunity to see people who in the next couple of years will kind of jump to that next level. And, you know, no guarantees that anyone's going to become like an arena level musician, but I think the Alt Currents folks and the Raccoon Motel people like Sean and that crew, they have a really good eye for things that actually end up kind of reaching a national level or even international.
Well, so let's dive into a little bit of a deeper conversation here. I'm curious for Isaac and Alex, like what got you started playing music as individuals, you know, before you started Hembree?
Yeah, before Hembree started, actually, Isaac and I have a very similar backstory, same as my brother as well, in that we both came from families of musicians. Specifically, our dads were both guitar players and great musicians and still are. And I think just growing up in our households, both of us, and Isaac, I'll let you speak for yourself here, but we were just born into it. It was like almost like there wasn't going to be a choice for better or worse.
Yeah,
so that's how it was on my end.
Yeah, same here. We definitely blame our parents for the reason we're stuck in this band, you know.
Excellent. So about what ages did you guys start playing music?
For me, it was it's like around second grade. I don't know what age that would be. I started taking piano lessons. My dad insisted, even though he was a guitar player, he insisted I take piano lessons first, which was a great decision at the time, or in retrospect, a great decision. At the time, I didn't much appreciate it. I was ready to get right to guitar. And then I didn't start playing guitar until whatever that fifth or sixth grade era is. But that entire time for me, my dad was playing guitar in the house and introducing us to rock bands, the classics, at an early age.
Yeah. And I started playing drums about as early as I can remember. There's footage of me playing at like one or two, because my parents had a little home studio in the basement. They were in a band, so there was always equipment kind of at my disposal from a very, very young age. It's ridiculous. I used to pretend to call bandmates on the phone when I was like, you know, 3 and 4 years old to schedule band practice. So it's definitely been something that I've always wanted to pursue. And like Alex said, kind of just felt like it was built into us that that's what we were going to do.
Wow. That's incredible. I sort of feel like I know part of this question just by, you know, some of your answers earlier, but how did the group get started?
Yeah. So, Garrett and Eric and I played in a different band, kind of our college band. And we had a little bit of success in the sense that we had a...
Yeah, you were more than just a college band. Don't sell yourself short. You guys doing good stuff.
We were doing cool good stuff. We got picked up by a huge booking agency and a big management company. And we're talking to a lot of record labels and stuff like that. And it was all happening really quickly. That's more like a that thing you do moment where like you made a couple songs and somehow it was the right place, right time. And we were in Lawrence, Kansas, but the Los Angeles music industry found us. Truly like a movie, like a local promoter sent a CD to an agent. He liked what he heard, like very fairy tale rock and roll story. But long story short, we played in that band for a couple of years and it was heading in a really good direction. But the singer was like, this is not the life for me. Having done the touring lifestyle for as long as we have, at the time I didn't understand it. Now I completely respect it. I understand it's for us, but it might not be for everybody. It is a strange existence. So he was like, I'm not going to do this. I started doing different demos because I was only 22 or 23 or something when that band ended. So I was like, well, I'm not ready to give up the music dream yet. And took my sweet time kind of like coming up with demos. I'd never been the lead singer of a band before, but I'd always been like the guy that helped produce his friends' bands or contributed to the writing of the bands I was in. And then we put a couple songs out. We were really fortunate that a couple of them kind of miraculously started streaming well, and we were playing around Kansas City. And frankly, at that point in time, this is like 2015, 16-ish. I just wanted to be able to be a band in Kansas City that played local shows, had a good following at home, and things started to kind of ramp up. And the two musicians that were playing with Hembree at that time, other than Garrett and Eric, were like, hey, I don't really want to do the touring thing. That's awesome. This is happening for you guys. And we thought, well, we got to get the two guys that like to tour and play music the most, Alex and Austin Ward. So we call them up and the rest is history. They joined the
band. That's right.
We've never looked back.
Excellent. I mean, it's a pretty cool story in the fact that, you know, you do get to see your family quite regularly and how cool to be able to do that. So
yeah, it's great. And they get along better than most brothers I've ever met. So they like to hang out. And
oh, Austin music. And I yeah, do. Yeah, 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 yeah. We do, surprisingly. We've grown out of the combative stage of the early in our music career.
If it ever gets combative, one of them starts laughing before it escalates too much.
And then
it just dissolves.
That's good. That's good. So where does the band name come from?
So the band name started because we have a best friend named Blaze Hembree. Full name, birth name. He's out there. Look him up.
Yeah, he's not going to like this.
So he was a really good friend of ours. He was always in the studio hanging out kind of doing during that early demo phase that I was talking about, kind of that 2015, 2016 era of the BAM, just hanging out, good bud, great name. And we labeled all the sessions Blaze Hembree just on our hard drive. And classic, you know, brand new band thing. We get offered a show or two. We have no real name. So we're like, I think we just call it Blaze Hembree. And he's going, guys, please do not name your band after me. I'm a school teacher. All the kids are going to find out. And so we, out of respect, we said, fine, we'll do you a solid. We'll just take your last name. But that's Blaze Hembree still stands out as a good band name to me.
Blaze Hembree is a great band name. Yeah, the actual name Hembree, we do get a lot of questions about it because I'm not as familiar, but I believe there's a baseball player named something Hembree.
Hembree.
We get a lot of people looking us up thinking we're the baseball player. Back in the day, we were Harambe. Was that
the gorilla.
Yeah, the poor gorilla.
Yeah.
We were Harambe for a while.
Oh, the number of comments on social media. Oh, I didn't know Harambe made music for a while there. It was an era. The world was simple then. We didn't have the complex issues we have today.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then, you know, Hembree just kind of stuck. We've had a good deal of people, like Alex said, ask us about the band name. Generally positive reviews. One time we did open for Elvis Costello, which was amazing. You know, he's a musical hero.
Wow.
And his fan base, though, and no disrespect to his fan base, they were awesome. They loved the show. But they were an older demographic than our typical show. And this guy comes up to us at the merch table, and he's like, Hembree, that's an okay band name. And we're like, okay, that's a strange first thing to tell us. And he goes, yeah, you need something more memorable. And I go, oh, well, what would you say a memorable band name is? And he goes, something like Hootie and the Blowfish. Now that's memorable.
Like, I think that one's taken. But,
yeah.
I think we just need an ampersand in our name.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a great name, but also I also think that Blaze Hembree also real good. I mean, that's just
I think maybe a solid name. Thank you so much. I think if we ever need to do a like subtle career pivot, like Jefferson Airplane became Jefferson Starship, Hembree could become Blaze Hembree in our final form.
The next
Blaze, yeah, Blaze Hembree has more of a stoner feel. We'd have to be more of a jam band.
Yeah,
really start extending our song, and put those solos back in that we keep cutting out.
Yeah, well, we can test that out in August here if you want. Just
yeah, that's fine. We're just gonna play one song set,
free form,
90 minutes long at Raccoon Motel,
psychedelic odyssey.
Well, I look forward to it. So
yeah, it's a new thing we're gonna try out.
I do too.
But for real, aside from, you know, music that you're doing on stage, I'm always curious when artists sort of, you know, put together a set list or put together, you know, their performance, their live. I mean, is there anything that you hope your audience takes away from your shows?
You think, Al?
From me, my perspective is I really hope that audiences leave it, especially those who've never heard us before. We do, you know, like every band, we take pride in like putting together an interesting set list that makes us excited, but also one that we think is going to, you know, cater to our regular fans and then also new people. And when they leave, I would like them to know the diversity of influences that we have and are able to kind of walk away with maybe the impression that like every song is slightly different. There's a different feel throughout the set. You know, we'll do something more melodic and slowed down, and then we'll do kind of a harder edged, more alternative sounding song. And then a straight up, some of our songs have straight up more danceable elements to them. So I hope audiences leave with the impression that we're capable of doing a whole spectrum of sound.
Yeah, I think that's something we used to maybe see as almost like a disadvantage for the band, because when you're a brand new band, people want to identify what you are immediately right out of the gates. Mm-hmm. But now that we've been a band for as long as we have as many albums out, we've really embraced kind of shifting worlds. And I think so many of the best bands have different kind of phases and eras that they work in. And I think that the depth of our catalog now is something that I think is cool that we showcase in the live setting.
Yeah, I definitely think that's an asset. I mean, it gives you something to give your audience from the stage. So it's not a very, like, it's not the same sort of style over and over, the same feel over and over, which I think you're right. You do get that with a lot of bands who've had a bit more time on the road or have a couple more albums that they can pull things from to try some things out. So since this is Talking Art and sort of, you know, highlighting artists and sort of some of their process, Alex, you queued this up perfectly. You talked about influences. You talked about things that, you know, in your music. So for you two, I'm curious, I want to take a step back. Like, who were your initial influences when you started playing music? Like, who were you trying to emulate when you first started playing?
I think universally for the band and most musicians, but definitely the Beatles, just because I think with our parents being musicians, they were always playing that. But for me, the big ones were like Tom Petty, The Police, Prince. Kind of like early influences that my parents were playing around the house. But then also being the age that I am, like 90s rock, 2000s indie rock, things like when the Strokes came out or Phoenix came out and stuff like that. And I think weirdly that all kind of has trickled into Hembree's sound. What about you, Al?
Oh yeah. I think Isaac and I, as previously mentioned, had a very similar background. Our dads were introducing us, even though we didn't know each other at the time, to very similar artists. You know, my dad was also thrown in Springsteen and ZZ Top, Talking Heads, but also just those classics. And I wonder if there's any band out there who says, like, no, the Beatles were not an influence or not an inspiration. It's like, how could you? They have to be at some way or another. And then later on, you know, you started to develop your own taste. Mine and speaking on behalf of my brother, Austin, was very much like Queens of the Stone Age, Nine Inch Nails, but also The Strokes, Arcade Fire, lots of, you know, those 90s, early 2000s bands that really hit us as we were forming our musical taste. And really, they haven't changed since then.
I was going to say. Like,
it's been everything that Dad introduced us to, and then like those five or six bands.
The formative artists for you.
Yeah. And nothing
without a
since
doubt.
Then.
Yeah, I know. No, and then like pop music, weirdly, from like the late 90s, early 2000s as well. Like we all get down on that era of pop or Robin or.
I was going to say, that's not to say that we do all take pride in listening to new music and new artists. And we do draw inspiration.
We just don't think it's as good, you know?
It's just not as good. Not nearly as good. But like Robin's a great one where you might not hear it in our music, but we really respect like well done pop song craft, which tends to come especially from a lot of really talented female singers. And we'll listen to the production, the vocal delivery, and that stuff, whether you hear it or not in our music, is actually very inspiring to the band. And I think we can all agree on that as band members.
Yeah, that's, I got really, like, there's records like Madonna, Ray of Light and stuff that you might not hear in Hembree's music that much, but is definitely a big influence on me and just like that electronic era and everything.
Yeah. I mean, even Carly Rae Jepsen's two records ago was just phenomenal. I was like, oh man, we could steal elements of this and you would never know in our hearing it in a Hembree song, you would never know that it came from like Carly J. Jepsen or something. Jepsen.
Totally.
Wow, that is really interesting. That's what I'm going to be listening for now.
That's right.
See if I can find that.
Well, we do have the one song. One of our songs is called Call Me Maybe. So it's that one's a little more obvious.
And it was pretty big.
Yeah.
Not as big as hers, but
yeah.
I also want to shout out, like, you may not realize it again listening to our music, but take a lot of elements from like visual art as well. I was going to shout out the new movie theater in Davenport, Last Picture Show, that we've been to every time we've been there, and how cool that is in the Quad Cities to have an indie theater like that that's showing, you know, obscure indie movies. You know, that's such a treat to have a theater doing that. And speaking on behalf of like my brother and I again, we'll take a lot of visual elements and create that into a song and be inspired by film. So shout out to Last Picture Show over there.
Yeah, that's incredible. That is like sort of a really interesting way to think about like song craft and sort of framing some of those things up. So you've mentioned a lot of bands here, but as far as like an audience who is you know, will soon be listening to Hembree for the first time or seeing them live for the first time. What do you think that they're going to hear musically, like that you're like, these are the ones like artistically that they're probably going to hear more of?
Certainly some Talking Heads. We've been very into them for many years now. Definitely kind of like Alex said, some of those bigger indie rock bands like a Phoenix. Who am I forgetting here, Al? The Killers would be probably one that people would...
too. Specifically, though, I know when Isaac was working and developing the songs for the new record, we really, as a band, and Isaac in particular, embraced the bands that we grew up again with our dads. And that was, you know, Tom Petty, Springsteen, like this, the new record, perhaps more than the others, you can hear that influence of the classic singer-songwriters.
Yeah,
the songs,
it's more nostalgic
that,
record.
For sure, for sure. So I think maybe even Huey Lewis in the news is a big one on the new record. I feel like just like fun, but danceable. I think this new record is a little bit of an outlier perhaps from the last two.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, and that kind of goes back to the different eras we were in. The first record is more alternative, very like electronic beat driven with a rock band behind it, drawing from those harder rocking influences like our song Culture is very like Nine Inch Nails inspired with the sub bass and everything. And then the second record is definitely more our art rock record. Little bit more experimental, trying different things, very Talking Heads and groove driven. And then this next one, like Alex said, is embracing some of those classic artists that we all love and grew up on.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it. So out of curiosity, so when you form your set list for a concert, do you have sort of a method to that? Is it sort of, you know, want to showcase what the new album is, or is it, you know, is there a, like sort of a storyline that goes through that?
Well, we're going to get our keyboardist, Eric, in. He's going to phone a friend.
Set list master.
What do you think, Al? I mean, you take a lot of pride in getting the set boom, 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 right out of the gates.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's a great question. And I think, I know obviously lots of bands put different amounts of effort into their or set list. Some bands more than others are able to just pivot on a switch and figure out the vibe of the crowd. I think we like to go in with a bit of a roadmap of like, hey, we're going to play these first three without interrupting at all, just to like show that first of all, that we can rock and we can like just build a mood before we, you know, start chatting or whatever. I think we're really on this. We are going to probably put a lot of emphasis on the new record. Like when we play Alternating Currents, the record will have only been out for what, a week at that time?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. A couple of days. So it's our first chance to really showcase the new songs. So that'll be interesting. That's a great question, Kevin, because we're going to have to figure out how many of the new songs we're going to do versus the songs that people might expect and be more familiar with.
Excellent. Cool. Well,
Isaac, you got anything else to that? I don't know.
It's quite the dilemma.
We honestly just don't know the answer to that right now because we're about to debut a bunch of new songs and we don't know how they're going to go until we start playing them.
Because as music fans, you go to shows and sometimes the artist plays their entire new record and you're like, man, they didn't play any of the hits.
Yep. Yeah.
So we got to walk that line, right? We got to play some of the songs that people want to hear.
We got to be prepared to upset people.
Yeah. Well, I think I always think of, for a while it was probably like a pretty famous story when Smashing Pumpkins came back out and they had just put out a new album and, you know, they were very adamant that like, we're just playing this album. We're doing nothing else. And it was like, it was a hard sell for a lot of audiences because they were like, that's great. But we also came here to hear your older stuff.
Massive songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all, a great anecdote is I remember at a very young age, one of the first concerts I went to, Counting Crows was on the bill. And Mr. Jones, by that point, had been a massive hit. And the band, Counting Crows, had made it overtly clear they were over the song. They didn't want to play it anymore. They were burnt out on it. But obviously, my mom loved that song. That's why we were going to see him. So they did play the song, but it was like a 12-minute dirge version of Mr. Jones where they never sing the hook and I'm not throwing any shade because I respect the artistry of it, but afterwards it's like, man, we just really wanted to hear the song. Give it yeah. to us.
Yeah. That's, I always think of Blues Travelers because, you know, they were talking about how the band was talking about, like, you know, there are songs that like put you on the map and yeah. they're like, yeah, we've played, you know, we've played Run Around hundreds of times, thousands of times at this point. And, but they're like, we play it every show because like, that's what people love about us. And yeah. they're like, sometimes it gets sort of boring to play, but like, you know, you're there to play for your audience. So,
and I would say
go ahead, Al.
Oh no, I was going to say, I mean, we're by no means at that level, but the song yeah. culture for us has done a lot of, it's been very important to our band as far as like helping us level up and getting new exposure. Hmm. We play it every show. I never get tired of it because we know it feels good to perform and the crowd is generally very receptive. If yeah. if they don't already know the song and want to hear it, they understand it right away. So I never get tired of playing that song, even though we play it every single set.
Yeah. And if we get a Runaround or a Mr. Jones, I'm playing that thing for the rest of my life.
Oh, we're going to play that into the ground, man.
Absolutely.
I had a buddy who worked at a music shop. And he said the guy who wrote Eye of the Tiger used to come in and play it on guitar, just play the riff. I wrote this. That's going to be me.
Man, if I wrote that riff, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be camping out at Guitar Center, shredding that riff.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's a tricky rhythm. It's actually a trickier rhythm than you realize if you try to play it.
See, we respect that guy.
Yeah
it's art. That's art.
It's art right there for sure.
Yeah. One of the other things I'm always curious about, like talking with artists is, you know, we here at Quad City Arts, we do a lot of work with younger artists in our community, and we bring in artists to play in our schools, and, you know, because we want to expose our community to all sorts of different kinds of art, but also show them that, you know, what you two are doing, like, is a viable career choice. Like, that is something that you can do and you can travel.
Oh, Kevin, don't say viable. Don't tell the kids that.
Yeah. Don't tell the dreams out. It's viable-ish.
But I'm curious, you know, what advice would you give out to artists who are maybe just starting out on, you know, the road, or want to get started out touring, or, you know, starting a band? Like, if you could go back and talk to your younger self, you know, when you were just getting started in the band, what would you tell yourself?
I would tell them to write as many songs as possible, because I think a good song can expedite everything for you. If you are starting out and you're just like, oh, let's go tour. It's great if you can, and you can afford it and everything, because it's expensive to do. But I think that you want to make sure that the product is really good. And I think you will save yourself a lot of time by putting the time in to write really, really good music and really crafting your sound and everything. And if you have awesome songs, you know, then you might not be speculating, why hasn't this taken off, or why am I still just out here grinding on the road and all that. So I think even in this world where everything is about going viral and social media and all this stuff, I still, and maybe I'm just a believer, but I think good songs will still find their way through. It could take longer, or, you know, like Chapel Roan's a great example. Like, she'd been putting out music for quite a while, and then something clicked, and then she's on a world takeover now. But the songs at the core are just phenomenal songs. That would be my advice, is to really hone your craft, learn to record yourself, even if it's like GarageBand, and find your voice and your sound.
Mm. Alex, what about you?
I very much agree with Isaac. And that's something I've, in retrospect, you know, even though at a young age, I think our high school bands were all great in their own way, I wish that we had all taken the time to just write. It's a muscle that the more you work, the better you get. And then at the end of the day, even in this age of, like, you know, a lot of TikTok one hit wondery kind of stuff, the cream of the crop songs end up rising to the top. I mean, like Isaac said, a good song will get you farther than hitting the road with, you know, touring relentlessly behind a body of work that's maybe not that great. That's not to take away, though, from the experience of touring at a young age. It's
a great way to see the
quickest
world.
Yeah. Quickest way to see the world and to grow up, for sure, which we were lucky enough to have those opportunities very young.
Yeah, it's super fun. And I think it's it will make you like, we shouldn't discredit touring and playing live, because there is something to be said about how good you can get quickly by going out and performing. You can practice, you can practice all day, every day, but there's something about that. Maybe it's the pressure and that mental switch that you have to make to actually perform and put on a show, where the band, the tightness escalates so quickly. You get so much better.
Yeah. Touring is very important. Realistically, though, in this day and age, we also are fully aware of how much more difficult it is now than it used to be. Just, and
one
I
second,
hate to
guys.
Use the word. And,
I got a package. Oh. It's our vinyl. I got to grab this real fast.
Oh my God, this is incredible. Leave this in the podcast.
Yeah.
Isaac is right this moment receiving the test pressings of the brand new Himbri record. We're going to meet up later on today to listen to them to make sure we sign off and give approval, but that's the UPS guy dropping off the test pressings right now. The vinyl test pressings.
The test pressings, they were shipped internationally and they needed a signature. And I was like, if I miss this,
they're going back overseas.
In Davenport. Yeah.
That's fantastic. We're going to get together later on and crank up the vinyl and see how they sound.
Wow. That's very exciting. So
it is.
I planned that so it happened in the podcast.
I mean, it was good timing. So
was that actually your wife just handing
it
to you? Is that true?
It was just a spindrift at the door.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Isaac, Alex, is there anything else that you want to share, you know, leading up to your show at Alternating Currents in August?
Yeah, I'd tell the people to come on out. Earlier we said, what do we want people to leave with when they see a Himbri show? And we said, like, the diversity of the music and our endless talent. But really, actually, we just want people to leave with a smile on their face and know that if they see us having a good time on stage, that it's because we're really genuinely enjoying performing, and hopefully that people leave with having had as much fun as we did.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, and I hope they come out because we love playing Davenport. Last year was wall-to-wall packed, so I hope we can do it again. And it's one of our favorite cities to play. It's always a great time.
Excellent.
And we might just cut.
Love to hear that.
Love it.
We might what, Alex?
I was going to say, we might just cut our set short so we can catch a movie next door at last.
Yeah, that's true. Alex is really looking forward to getting back to the theater.
Yeah. it's a great space. So I don't blame you, Alex.
It is. That whole area is awesome.
Yeah, it's really kind of blown up there, and it's So we're very lucky to have that in the community for sure.
Yeah, shout out to Red Band Coffee.
Yeah, right around the corner.
We hit Red Band, we hit Lopi's Pizza. There's that vinyl shop next to Raccoon Motel. So we've actually kind of spent a decent amount of time just on that corner. So we're excited to it.
Where do we get breakfast? Nick's? Is it Nick's?
Oh, what is the name of it? It's called Tommy's.
Tommy's. I'm sorry. Tommy's. Not Nick.
That is. Yeah. It's one of my favorites as well. A little diner there. Yeah.
We love it. We go every time we play.
Excellent.
See you, we'll see you at Tommy's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. The hangover brunch.
It is very good for that, I will say.
Yeah.
It is wild because there's been these pivotal moments in our band's, you know, trajectory. First record deal, we played Alt Currents, like I said, the day we signed. And then now we're playing album release.
Yeah.
So, you know, it holds a special place in our hearts, that's for sure.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to hear you guys perform live, and I can't wait to pick up that vinyl when you're in town. So thank you for taking the time to sit down with me and be our guest on Talking Art today.
Thank you, Kevin. This was awesome.
Thank you, Kevin.
Excellent. Thank you again to Quad City Bank and Trust for supporting Talking Art. You can see Himbri perform on Friday, August 16th at 9 p.m. at the Raccoon Motel in Davenport, Iowa. This performance is part of Alternating Currents Festival and is free to attend. For more information on Himbri, you can go to himbrimusic.com, and their music is available on streaming platforms. For more information on the Alternating Currents Festival, visit alternatingcurrentsqc.com for artist lineups, venues, and more. But the best way to take it all in is by downloading the Alternating Currents app.